James Rogers was arrested, suspicion of drunk driving, passed out, trying to take a left on 8 Mile Road at, was it Meadowbrook, Erica?
Yes, Meadowbrook.
Okay.
He was on Meadowbrook.
Oh, he's on Meadowbrook trying to take a left on 8 Mile Road, and it took... Well, why don't you tell the story? Tell us from your standpoint.
Okay, well, I clean houses, so I was in between houses. We were on our way to one of our houses. Me and my partner, and we were turning left onto Meadowbrook from 8 Mile.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw people trying to get into this guy's car at the light.
So you, when you approached the intersection, was there... Was everything stopped and there was sort of some mayhem going on at the moment?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And there was people standing around, and we could see, there's something wrong with the guy in that car.
Mm-hmm.
I had no clue who it was.
You had bystanders on the street corner and all?
Yeah, exactly.
I just picture it.
Any police presence yet?
What?
Any police presence yet?
No, not at all.
Okay. And what was it, a big old SUV?
No, it was a Mercedes, 2003 Mercedes, is what I heard on the news. Is that right?
Yeah, it was, and it has like a custom paint job.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it looked pretty sweet.
Out.
Oh, that's
I saw in the police lockup, it looked like a nice metallic paint job on that thing, wasn't it?
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was like orange and purple swirly type.
Oh,
yes. You could tell it was...
A little wild.
Okay.
Okay, so you see this, debacle going on, and...
And I told my partner, I go, we need to pull over because we need to get that guy out of the car. Everybody started to walk away from his car at that point. I thought he was either, you know, having a seizure or a stroke or something was medically wrong with him.
That's weird that people would be walking away like that.
Yeah. They were just going back to their vehicles.
Were you asking people, like, what's going on, what's going on, what's the issue here?
Yeah. Well, when we pulled up, I started running to his vehicle, and they said, oh, we already called the police. I said, well, do we need to pull him out of the car? Do we need to break the windows or something and get him out and administer CPR or something before they get here? And they're like, no, he's just sleeping.
So they made that determination. They must have been able to see that his chest was rising and falling.
Yeah,
and
they're
all
like,
that.
He's moving, and he like moved his head back and forth, and he's breathing.
Bryce snoring.
I go,
how
do you know that he's sleeping in that? Having a stroke or something's wrong with him. And they're like, well, so me and my partner ran up to his window and started banging on his window. And his face is facing our windows, and we were pounding on the window so hard.
Was his head just smushed into the window, or was he not that close?
No, he was just like a couple inches away from the window.
Yeah, I'm imagining his face distorted against the glass. So his face is facing you, and you're just basically sort of pounding him in the face, as it were, through the glass.
Exactly, and there was no response
Could you hear any snoring?
No, we just heard his bass going.
How long are you...
Oh, yeah, the music cranked?
Yeah.
Sounds
like
my
a big
God.
How
long are you banging on the window?
We were banging on it for a while. We were banging so hard the whole car was rocking.
And was the car shaking from the bass of the music too? I mean, was it really loud?
No, you could hear it inside.
Okay, so it's not one of those
things where it wasn't like blaring outside of the vehicle.
Yeah, where you know you hear that car coming behind you. Your car almost vibrates from their speakers. Okay,
yeah, how do
like
those
that.
People survive that? By
I
the way,
wonder.
Their ears. I can't imagine what kind of elderly people they're going to make in terms of hearing.
Oh, yeah.
So does he ever even stir from all this banging?
No, I went back to talk to the guy that was behind him that had called the police. He goes, I called the police. They should be on their way. He goes, that's Charles Rogers. And still, I'm like, who?
Now, how did somebody know this was Charles Rogers? Just from recognizing his face?
Yeah.
Really?
Exactly.
That's pretty impressive.
The Lions player? I still had no clue.
That's
really
impressive.
I don't care who it is. We need to get him out of the car. And then the EMS got there. They banged on the windows. They tried to open the doors. It was locked. So they went back to the fire truck that had now pulled up to get one of them big claws.
Did the police come and make an effort at this, and then they had to call the fire truck after they were there? Or did the police and fire come at the same time?
They came at, like, the same time.
Yeah. So all their initial efforts to open the window or the door, whatever little tools they had, were useless. So they went to go get the jaws of life, the big extrication stuff?
No, it was just like a... I don't even know what to call it. It was just to stick in the door and wrench it open.
Oh, yeah, one of those. Yeah, I know what you're
talking
about.
Yeah, when you clock the keys in your car door.
Yeah, there's a name for that thing, but yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Now, we heard that they went in through the sunroof. Is that what they did?
Yes. One of them, went back to get that thing, and the other one on the other side started climbing up onto his roof, onto the hood, and in through the sunroof.
Was
and the car is shaking at this time, and he climbs in the sunroof.
Let me just
sunroof is
over.
Open.
Yeah, was his sunroof half open at the time, or?
No, it was fully open. We
it
didn't
was fully open.
Realize
open.
It was open.
Okay.
And he climbed in, put the car in park because it was still in gear.
Yeah, he had his foot on the brake this entire time, which is smart.
He just passed out.
Yeah.
So he put the car in park.
I'm surprised, by the way, that one of the bystanders didn't, you know, with his sunroof clearly open, didn't climb up there and do that.
Except with his foot on the brake. I mean, if his foot comes off that brake,
you could be like
Spider-Man. You could be going for a little ride.
You end up being like Spider-Man, hanging onto the rails up there.
Okay. So, Erica, they get the car in park, and then it's time to roust Charles, I take it. Or did they just open the door and pull him out passed out?
He unlocked the door and opened it, and they had to, like, shake him and pound on his chest to get him awake. And when he woke up, he was, like, disorientated, and they're asking him what's wrong, and he just said, I'm just really tired.
Is it obvious to you that he's hammered at this point?
Well, I thought it was something more than alcohol.
Yeah.
Oh, what? Yeah. Now, why? Because he was so sleepy and he wasn't slurry, or?
He just said, I'm just really tired. They're like, are you diabetic? He goes, no.
Wow. At
this point, he's like smiling.
Oh, smiling. You're kidding. Smiling? What's funny about this? Just because he's buzzed, probably.
Is he staggering at all or anything like
no,
that?
No, they didn't have him out of the car at this point.
Okay.
He was still in the car being questioned.
Okay. Boy, that's amazing that they had to pound on his chest to
finally wake him up. They shook him. They violently shook him in the front seat, both of them.
Wow. And still didn't wake up. I mean, they had to do that for a while?
Well, you know, just a couple seconds. They shook him and pounded on his chest, and then he finally came to, but he was still, like, you could tell he was out of it.
Okay, yeah. At what point are the police getting to the point where it seems apparent they're going to do some tests and he's buzzed? There's nothing medically wrong with him, but just he's wasted.
At that point, I had to leave. I had to go to work.
Oh, Erica. Okay, who's going to pick up the story? Were there a lot of people there?
There was quite a bit of people. The two people behind him were probably there the whole time because they were the ones that found him.
Yeah.
Okay, who's going to pick up the story where Erica left off?
Yeah, Erica, before we let you go, why do you say that you think it was, you're alluding to probably maybe pills or something like that? Something other than alcohol, I mean.
He was just absolutely gone behind that wheel of the car. It was still in dry with his foot on the brake, and he was holding the drink. Like a juice.
It could be. It could be a lot of things. I mean, it's really hard to tell when people are just
kind of drug
asleep. I mean, you can drink enough to just totally black out and be knocked out. But on the other hand, you know, you could combine it with a couple of things.
I wonder if he reeked of alcohol at all. We have to pick up the story.
Were you close enough, Erica, to smell him?
No.
I guess you wouldn't really want to smell him, would you?
No.
Well, Erica, thanks so much for being Johnny on the spot or Jane on the spot for us.
Oh, well, you're welcome.
All right, you have a good day.
Okay, you too.
Bye-bye.
Wow,
okay.
Story.
We should have made Erica replace herself at this point in the story, but, you know, who knows who was there. But come on, there sounds like there were a bunch of people there.
Oh, sucking back on Grandpa's old cough medicine?
Boy, wow.
This guy, what a disaster he is.
I'm telling you, he just goes from one debacle to the next.
Well, you know, here's this guy from, a local guy from Saginaw, and we're so happy when the Lions pick him.
He's a jackass.
Most people are happy when they pick him anyway, although, you know, at the combine, he apparently tested positive for pot, and they knew he was smoking a lot of grass at Michigan State, but nonetheless, he appears to be so talented that this is going to be, you know, one of the guys that'll help turn the Lions around, and look at the mess.
I know it.
Now you've got $25 million and a guy who's a complete jackass.
Total
and there's
mess.
A real cost to having someone like him running around with a lot of money. It's really kind of scary. I mean, we're laughing about it, but it's, you know, not so funny.
Well, when you get somebody that's that out of control in their life that have a lot of money, look out. That usually spells some major league trouble.
Steve, you there?
Yes, I am.
Did you have something to add to the Rogers story?
Yeah, I just wanted to say in the Detroit News, it does say that he smelled of alcohol, and it also says that Judge Brian McKenzie has the case. And if you Google Brian McKenzie and drunk driving, he is known throughout the state and even the country as being one of the harshest judges to first offenders on drunk driving. He's the darling of MAD, and he and Judge Kim Small in the 48th District Court, Judge McKenzie's over in Novi, are super, super tough. So,
hey, Steve, just out of curiosity, what made you Google the judge?
Just because I'm kind of strange like that.
Yeah,
it's really funny how people
nobody
just...
Nobody would do.
Well, people these days just want to know as much as they possibly can, but he gets a lot of good information out of it.
Yeah, but I mean, to sit there and put together the idea of like, okay, here's to actually follow to who's going to be the judge, who's going to hear the case, and what kind of a judge is he when it comes to DUIs.
Well, it's in the story, and also, as far as the alcohol, too, it was on the news last night that he blew, I think, a .14, so it is pretty obvious, you know, aside from what the witnesses say or don't say, that they know there was alcohol involved. He did smell of alcohol. And, in fact, he blew, or maybe I'm not sure if they took blood or he blew, but they did say on the news last night that there was a .14 blood alcohol level involved.
Oh, that's, I don't know. So you... Is he still there? Hey, so it's not like you had a run-in with this judge, right?
No, but I've known for... probably 10 years plus that this guy is the harshest in the state. Don't drink and drive in Novi. Do it somewhere else.
Well, I don't think you should be doing that anywhere, because I'm telling you, I know a couple of guys with DUIs, I'm telling you, they throw the book at you. You're in some big trouble.
Who
big
are these
trouble.
People? What kind of people you run around with? Jeez.
I mean, I can't believe what happened. I mean,
well, I can tell you.
You're off to jail. There's all these forms you fill out endlessly. I mean, you are just a marked man.
Well, not to mention the insurance and the lawyer. Oh. And in West Bloomfield, where I live, I don't know people, I don't, like you, unlike you, I don't know a lot of people who get DUIs, not my crowd.
I know two guys who got DUIs, one lately, and the problem is he had one from like 15 years ago. That's the guy I was telling you about.
I thought 7 years kind of knocked out the first one.
Maybe
not anymore.
Well, and this is the guy I was telling you about who had a couple of drinks at a party. Knew he was, pulled over in a parking lot, you know, but kept the car running in park.
You've been doing a bit of boozing, have you?
And so a cop came by, saw this car all by itself, just idling in a parking lot at night, pulled up.
Leaving the car on. Big
whammo,
mistake.
Whammo, that was it.
Sucking back on Grandpa's old cough medicine?
West Bloomfield. There are a couple judges there. I think there are three judges that handle DUIs, from what I understand. And I run into the West Bloomfield police all the time, including, I don't run into Tara.
Yeah.
But Tara works in West Bloomfield. You know who Tara is, that cute
officer. Oh, please, absolutely.
Officer. She's been in a couple times.
Yes, she has. In fact, she stopped in a few months ago.
But there are a couple of judges there that if it's your first DUI, they don't care if it's your first one or not, you may end up going to jail for a weekend,
absolutely.
Or a week. Or
5 days of fine up the yin-yang.
And if it's
all these classes.
If it's a second
classes.
One, heads up. I guess you pretty much are going to jail.
Yeah, it's mandated. I mean, it's not even up to the judge. You just go.
And the other thing is, if you don't go to jail, let's just say you get your first DUI and maybe try to plead it down, or you do the best you can, which, you know, you have a shot with the first one, but it sounds to me like you're going to end up peeing in a cup randomly or every morning before work. I just heard this one story about someone that had to go in, and this is a first DUI.
Yeah.
And he had to go in, I think, for some 90 days. They could call him, and I don't know if they did it in the morning or what, but he was telling me that before work, he literally had to go in, and this is a real problem. This guy traveled for work and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He had to go in and do
that. No, that's a problem. If you work, you got a job. I mean, you can, you know, all kinds of, they'll pull your license for a year, and then what do you do?
Every time he had to leave the state, he had to get in touch with, you know, his attorney, who had to tell them, and, you know, big deal. Big, big problem.
I'll be fine.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. It's a very big deal.
This is a mess.
Wait, we got a number for Charles Rogers' cell phone.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Well, he's bound to have a cell phone on wherever he is.
People to email us numbers like this, and we won't give away our sources. Don't worry. This is great. Got the number.
that's my favorite Hasselhoff drop, by the way. This one. No, this one. What
good
is he
God.
Trying to say?
Who knows?
I'm a
oh, and that those pictures of.
What's he saying?
Children on the way or something?
It's just one. Hold on. Ooh, nice. Nice translation, Walters. You must talk to a lot of drunk people.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I had pictures of him with that hamburger that just turned my stomach.
Oh, no. Isn't that gross? Do you ever want to eat again after you see that?
No. Not a hamburger.
Charles is on the way.
Oh, Charles is on the way. Obviously.
Okay.
Russ, you're on the Riff.
Yeah, you guys were talking about his radio blaring, and it just gave me flashbacks about Mike's story about him passing out in the parking lot after a golf outing.
Yes. No,
isn't that,
oh, God, yes.
That is the beauty of a good, fresh DUI story, is it makes everyone think of Mike.
Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, as out as I was, I probably, the same thing would probably happen to me. The police would have been crawling on the roof.
I don't think, you didn't have your car on. Didn't you just have your stereo on, like you just had the battery engaged, or did you have the car on?
Oh, the car was running.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah, car was running. But it was in park. I mean, I put it in park.
Congratulations.
I got that far.
Well, you hadn't left the golf course, though, so of course it was in park.
Yeah, well.
I was in that golf outing, wasn't I?
Yeah,
How did you end up left in the parking lot for 8 hours until the wedding party was going on?
I mean, I left there, and then I almost got to my house, but it was at the end of my street. You know, there's a wedding hall at the very end of the street. So I was within a mile of home. But I wanted to sober up before I got home.
Oh, so you're more afraid of Trish than anyone else.
Yeah, because I was just so wasted. I was so late.
I'm okay to drive, but I'm not okay for Trish.
Because I'd hung around with you and Matt and everybody and all the bunch.
Hey, don't blame me and Matt for this.
Believe me, because I was having drink after drink. I didn't feel like leaving yet. And I was so late and still so drunk. It was like, well, I don't want to arrive home this late, this wasted, so I'll just sober up for a half hour. So much for that half hour.
And this is, of course, many years ago.
This is many, many years ago, back in the drinking days. And I had Van Halen, I had Jimi Hendrix, I had all these hard rockin' CDs that were just rotating and playing.
Yeah, when you started playing them, you probably were really getting into it. You're probably totally psyched. And by the time you woke up, I bet that was one cranky Mike Clark.
Oh yeah.
And I'm fading fast.
Yeah. I mean, Voodoo Child is cranked. And it was summer, so I had the windows down in an empty parking lot with plenty of daylight. And then when I wake up, there's cars valet parked all around me.
Sweet.
And the wedding party is on the lawn getting their pictures taken before going in for the wedding.
Don't you feel really bad at that point? Like, oh, my God, look at these people are all together, all dressed up, and here I am crashed in my car, cranky as hell. I stink.
I know. And you know the thing of it is.
And after a long day of golf, too.
Oh, yes.
Can you imagine? It's all sweaty as hell.
Oh, God.
Hell.
Oh, my God.
Dried out.
Yep.
Probably really thirsty.
Dehydrated, totally.
Yes. And I am ready to go.
And imagine, too, these people that are parking right next to me with that music blaring and me out like a light. Honestly, the same thing could have happened if they had called the police. You know what I mean? If
somebody this guy
one of those goody two-shoes.
Yeah.
And that could have been a real, because I mean, that's what was so funny, is to wake up and find a car right next to me, right to the right of me, right in front of me, and right behind me. All these people are parking all around me, and I'm just, oops.
Well, Charles.
No, Jay, God damn you. I'm sitting up.
Screaming Scott trying to wake me up.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I wouldn't be surprised if there are a couple of me in the archives like this.
Oh, yeah.
And because I'm... Oh, I try to make any sense here. Okay.
The TV blaring.
Why do you think, Scott, this isn't making any sense at all. Oh, man.
Now your TV's blaring.
Yeah, trying to find the... Hang on, let's see.
Oh, my God.
No. You've had your limit today. You drink water.
This is a mess.
It'll be interesting. I mean, everybody's going to be watching. So I hope. I think they're probably going to want to set an example, too. We'll see. This will be very interesting.
We do have Charles's cell phone. And, you know, I don't know if the guy's taking calls this morning. Probably not really excited to talk to the media, but it's worth a try. Anyway, this is the actual music that was playing in his car, just in case you were wondering. And let's see. Probably end up with a voicemail, I'd imagine. And thanks for whoever called in this cell phone number. You know, with all these movie people in town, a lot of phone numbers we could be getting called in here. Maybe some front desks with a little heads up. Uh-oh.
Wow. Charles? Hey, Charles, it's Drew and Mike, WIF Radio, right here in Detroit. Charlie? Charlie?
Harold?
Charles, hey, it's Drew and Mike at Riff Radio.
I'm open.
You there? Charles?
I'm wide open.
Good.
You're wide open.
Hold your eyes wide open. Make your eyes wide open. Charlie, wake up a little bit here.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about something, if that's all right.
Go ahead, man.
Charles, listen, we heard about this issue you had where you fell asleep at the wheel at the stoplight there, and you had your foot on the brake, and Charlie, you still there? Charles!
Hello?
Charles, yeah, your foot was on the brake, and the fireman rescued you, and it sounded like it was quite a debacle out there. I was wondering if you could tell us kind of what was going on there. You didn't get any sleep, or what happened? Charles?
Charles?
Oh, no.
Yeah, who there? Who's there?
Oh, no. Oh, God. Oh, come on. Charlie!
Joey, I'm open, man.
Charles! Charles! Okay.
Hello?
Problem. Yeah, Charles.
Somebody got the phone off the hook.
Yeah. Hey, can we get a little explanation?
Where's my cell phone?
Can we get a little explanation as to why you were asleep at the wheel like that? You were crashed.
Who are you trying to call, man? What time is it? I'm trying to get some sleep here, man.
It's Friday morning. Charlie. Oh, man. He's so out of it. Give me a break. Charlie! Charles! Charles!
I messed up the whole record, man.
Little L. Henderson. Charlie!
I don't have no golf love or nothing, man. I messed up the whole record.
We're getting psycho babble here. Charlie!
I'm open, man.
Psycho babble. Charlie, just stay with me. Stay with me. Keep your eyes open. Take a deep breath. Just try to stay awake. I just a couple of questions for you.
Could you call back, man?
Well, I don't know if it's going to make that much difference. Charles.
He's gone.
Well, that's unfortunate. Yeah, that's weird, though. He sounded like he was channeling Al Hendricks there.
Yeah, he fell right into an Al Hendricks thing. I thought that was really strange.
It's crazy. I thought I heard something about the golf glove.
Yeah, who's to say? Maybe it's something that, with that psycho babble like that, maybe he heard Al once, and he just kind of was spitting it out in his subconscious. You never know.
Oh, and people are that screwed up.
Yeah, when you're that far gone, anything can happen.
7:36, and time to check traffic, and Trudy, and all that good stuff. Pretty discombobulated phone call the first time, I gotta say. Did he even ever know he was on the phone?
I don't think he really did. I really don't. I don't think he was with it enough to know.
He's pretty sleepy.
Yeah.
This is the music he was listening to, by the way. With the sunroof open.
Oh, yeah.
The fireman
and the
went through there.
Frank.
How you doing?
Charles?
In the house.
Charles. It's Drew and Mike on WIF right here in Detroit. We tried to call you earlier this morning, actually.
Yo, man. And I want to apologize for that. Because, man, I was so damn tired. Damn, I was tired.
Well, Charlie, is tired the word? I mean, you sound a little more than tired, actually. And this incident in your car on 8 Mile Road, my God.
Yeah, man. And I've been wanting to address that, but, you know, I've been having to deal with some stuff here in the meantime. Because being that tired, when you're out in traffic, man, I just had that car painted, plus the rims.
Yeah, plus everybody else out in traffic in the middle of the day.
Well, that too, man.
Well, Charles, it sounds like this is a little more than just being tired.
Not really, man. You should talk to this lawyer dude, and you might understand. I mean, I'm just being real and stuff.
Well, I'm not going to talk to your lawyer, for God's sake.
Well, I tell you, the reason I was out, I got this thing, man. It's called, man, it's hard to pronounce. Narcotics
that makes you,
No, man. Not narcotics. No. I'm done with that, man. I'm done with narcotics. It's a sleeping disease.
Narcolepsy.
That's it. Narcolepsy. I just go out, man. It's like a blackout.
I don't think that's a blackout, Charles. And it's not a disease either, by the way.
But it feels just like it. You wake up and you don't know what's happening.
That's a good one. Charles?
Where am I? What happened?
Charles,
hello?
Charles, you're on the phone.
Who is this?
Oh, come on. Knock it off, Rogers. You're not narcoleptic. Come on.
Oh, dude. You see, it just happened. You're a radio dude.
Oh, stop it. Stop it. Why did you have allegedly something like a 0.14, by the way? Oh, boy. Oh, God. Charles. Charles?
Hello? Where am I? What happened?
This is ridiculous.
What the hell
Charles?
Is going on here? Hello?
Charles?
Yeah, here I am.
God,
where
almighty.
Am I? What happened?
You're trying to weasel out of a drunk driving arrest.
Well, I would have never known that because, bang, with this disease, you don't know squat, man.
Okay, Rogers. Nice try, my man. Charles.
Hello?
Oh,
where
yes.
Am I? What happened?
Stop it. Bye. Goodbye,
who's
Charles.
Who's there? Why am I on the phone?
Goodbye.
What the hell's going on?
Goodbye, Charles.
I got so wasted, I sh** my pants.
What, a dollar for every time I flash my that would mean a job.
What the hell are these young people talking about?
Shots of tequila. Now that's what I'll remember.
I was like so up. I woke up the next day and there was like blood and fingers and in the grill of my car.
Setting on fire. Oh, that was the best.
Dropping trow, showing patch. Oh, and shopping.
Shots of tequila, doing bitches. I ain't ever gonna forget that.
I have to say that putting out was my favorite part. Well, next to rioting.
You got it! These derelicts are all talking about getting an actual accredited degree from Michigan State University.
Nobody can't never take this degree away.
Founded in 1855 as the nation's first land-grant university, MSU has grown into the nation's biggest party school.
Jason Furrow, Michigan State student, and I love to drink.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the Final Four riots got a little out of hand, and with a multiple expulsion, we're looking for some fresh party animals to follow the tradition.
Party on!
Yeah! Here's the best part. MSU is making it easier with its streamlined admissions test. Do you like to drink?
Hell yeah!
Do you like to burn up?
Yeah! Oh. You turds are in!
Whoa, that's... Now, where can I get some kindling?
Try the bookstore, Sparky.
Party on!
Yeah! Now for the chicks. What does a bonfire of ratty couches make you want to do?
Pop my top and do a bunch of guys. What else?
You're in, slut.
Cool. I can't wait to spread my legs.
Yeah!
MSU, it's a riot. Call 1-800-SPARTY on today.
But I don't got no letters on my phone.
You're in, dip.
All right.
MSU, call 1-800-SPARTY on.
It's a riot!
Sparty on!
Now, during the Ram Big...